Welcome back to the Townships at 12. You're listening to CJMQ 88.9 FM. I'm Maureen, and in the second part of today's show, we will hear more from Joe Cianflone, leader of the CAPQ Canadian Party of Quebec. We will also have some health news and some music. Let's start part two of the show today with a tragically hip Ahead by a Century.
Listen to our thoughts, illusions of someday, cast in a golden light, no dress rehearsal, this is our life.
Talking with Joseph Cianflone. He is the leader of the Canadian Party of Quebec. The Canadian Party of Quebec often speaks about inclusion and modernization. How do those ideas translate into your vision for Quebec's future?
Well, I think our provincial political scene, its commentary, and those involved suffer from a lack of participation, right? So you can go more from just a systematic discrimination standpoint. You've got Anglophones in this province, sort of 12% of the population with, I think, a de minimis definition. But even at 12%, you know, they represent 1% of workers in the government, right? I mean, this is a systematic way to eliminate diversity of thought. And what does that mean ultimately? Like, we've done all the economic research over decades, right? That means you're going to get worse outcomes, right? Then within Francophone society, again, you know, we like to think of it as Anglophones or Allophones and New Quebecers, but we all feel a substantial level of coercion in Quebecois society. So do Federalist Francophones, right? Even worse, if you're a Federalist unilingual Francophone, Yeah, you can't espouse any sort of attachment to Canada in public or at work if you want to get promoted or advance your career or be invited to a party on the weekend, right? Because that's the level of toxicity we've allowed these kind of politics to evolve to. So I think, Maureen, really it comes down to putting in a new vision for what it means for everyone to be able to access and interface with government, and it's for everyone's betterment. So for me, it's not including minorities for the sake of including minorities. It's, are we getting the best and brightest, who cares about what their identity descriptors are, building the most effective systems with our tax money, right? And that's the most important part of governing in a democracy. Culture is something we establish as a people. Governments cannot create culture. They can fund arts and they can ruin cultures, right? But they don't do anything in terms of positively creating it. And so, you know, this is again the important part to me to have modernization and participation, is that those forces actually prevent this kind of corrupt use of state government resources, right? We should not be, and again, even when you're trying to capture these things for your own definition of who your community is and your tribe as a politician, as we see so many of our politicians do, that game has been played so far in Quebec, right? This is not the last 5 years, but this is 70 years of, you know, pushing away investment, getting foreign direct at half of our level of population, right? Like, we are half the economy we should be, right? This is a country that Quebec founded and should be leading economically, let alone morally and legislatively. And we're just not rising to any of those challenges. So modernizing is as simple as, who are you letting in the door? What systems are you using? And how are you proceeding with the business of government? It's nothing revolutionary. It's just evolutionary from a system that seems stuck in a different era.
Now, for English-speaking and minority communities in Quebec, there's, as you mentioned, there's often a sense of not being fully heard at the provincial level. What role do you see your party playing in giving those communities a stronger voice?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a sense. I think it's a reality. Like I said, you can quote statistics in terms of who's in the government. You can quote, you know, go across regionally and see that Anglophones make less money than Francophones in every single region of Quebec, despite having 2 times the level of higher education attainment. And that's also rewarded with twice the unemployment rate. Like, this stuff is not impressions. Like, this stuff is verifiable economic truth fighting nationalist mythology. Right, so let's first get back there. The business of government should be based on data, not on sort of pointing people towards made-up enemies. So I think that's, you know, a really key shift that we have to undertake.
Now, politics in Quebec can be deeply rooted in questions of identity and language. How does your party balance the protection of minority rights with a respect for Quebec's French heritage?
Yeah, I mean, like we said, you know, I don't think there's ever been an issue with the respect for Quebec's French heritage, at least in my lifetime in the last 40 years. And since probably the Révolution Tranquille, I think the difference is the hijacking of the Révolution Tranquille and positive enablement and empowerment of Francophone Canadians for nationalism, right? These are not the same thing. So, like, it's very simple, right? Patriotism, and we can all be Canadian patriots and Quebec patriots, about celebrating positively your culture, right? Nationalism is about diminishing others, right? And this is the line that's crossed. So I don't actually see any tension there at all, except for 50 years, we have allowed cheap politics to eliminate people celebrating in a positive way. And to the point where, again, there's great academics at HEC, University of Sherbrooke, Laval, who study these topics and who publish amazing research. We don't hear about any of it in the media. And that's simple economic flows in terms of who buys ads and how they get funded. And again, the coercion factor. So it's not like the stuff isn't all here in Quebec. We all are Quebecers. We all love Quebec. We all have our neighbors. We don't experience half of the stuff we see on TV every day. But that doesn't mean it's not happening. And it doesn't mean it's not driven by a very small amount of people that just need to be spoken to correctly and bargained with properly. And I think that's really what it comes down to, Maureen, is just getting back to a frank conversation about protecting and promoting French, having nothing to do with making French a tool of government oppression. I mean, the French language doesn't deserve that, right? Everything our government does repulses people from French. We don't do anything to attract people to the language. We had, for the first time, you know, and quickly defunded some actual French courses, you know, in a province that's concerned with only 95% of the people being able to speak French. I just don't think that that is a conversation that represents reality. I think it's a conversation that represents buying isolated votes that have very little contact with the rest of Quebec. I think that's the problem we should be talking about, is how well are we integrating Quebec as a society with itself? You know, because we do have issues with people arriving in Montreal who are not properly educated or trained for that job market. That's going to create immediately adverse response to a metropolitan setting, to hearing other languages or cultures for the first time. This is a basic urban and suburban and country divide that is experienced in every metropolis in the world. And we just never talk about it here because we'd rather pretend it's a language issue.
Now, as a relatively new political force, how is the Canadian Party of Quebec reaching out to voters across the province? And what's your strategy heading toward the next provincial election?
The nice part about, you know, not being a marketing machine, kind of posing as a political party, is those are really easy questions to answer. I mean, our strategy is to represent these values and to meet Quebecers where they are. We won't delude ourselves to run candidates that do not represent these values anywhere, but we'd love to be able to talk to Quebecers in any region, in any riding where they're at. So, you know, that's where we make a public appeal to people who believe in being Canadian and believe in our official languages and believe in the economic, you know, effectively accelerationism of having access to multiple languages to do business with the rest of the world, and want to see that taken advantage of. So we're out there doing community events. We're about to kick off more online events, obviously radio interviews and the other interviews that are helpful. And as we present our candidates in the coming months, we'll obviously be calling for more volunteers, donations, and other people who want to stand up and, you know, either be a very involved and active candidate or make sure that there's a flag somewhere in the ground that people can vote for, understanding that every vote ultimately funds a party. So when you vote for parties that don't represent your principles, convincing yourself that they're the next best option, you got to realize that you're actually funding their arguments and what happens as a result. And I think we need to do some real introspection on that in Quebec in terms of who we have advocating for a better future here. So we're out connecting. We believe more in a lot more direct distribution. So we're going to get much more involved on social media in the next few months as we solidify our team, and then just keep weekly messaging going and the channels open. For us, it's really not about gaming the political system. We really need to modernize. We're going to stay on principle and play the game our way.
Finally, what would you say to listeners who may not know much about the Canadian Party of Quebec, but who are curious about what you stand for?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, start with the website, you know, head out there. You can check out what we stand for quite a bit online there. There's a pretty good press history as well if you want to Google us, but it's also always great to just reach out. You'll very quickly be in touch with, you know, some of our volunteers or executives or myself. We can talk about both the party, but also how Quebecers can contribute to making Quebec a better place. I think a lot of us just want to see the business of government done instead of philosophies debated. Well, we can't get education, healthcare access, or attract an investment dollar in this province. So yeah, reach out and it'll be more than easy enough to connect with us.
Okay. Anything we left out that you'd like to add, Joe?
Not really, Maureen. I mean, love to hear more from your perspective in the townships. So we've done a couple events down there, but, you know, it's been a pretty busy legislative season, even though it's early. Let's get a dialogue going. And if there's a mass of your listeners who want to create a town hall and just get on a Zoom and just chat through what they're experiencing, I mean, this is what matters in Quebec. We need to bring politics back down to the level of the people. So I appreciate you making this time and giving us this opportunity to kind of talk to your listeners. And like I said, please feel free, them, you, all of us, to follow up and stay connected.
Okay, well, we thank you very much. We've been talking with Joseph Cianflone. He's the leader of the Canadian Party of Quebec. Thanks very much, Joe, and all the best.
Thank you, Maureen. You have a great afternoon.
You too. And next up, we have some health news for you here on the Townships at 12. Now, the benefits of working out at any age. As we move through fall and into the colder months, it's a great time to remind ourselves that staying active is one of the most powerful things we can do for our health, no matter how old we are. Whether you're in your 20s or your 80s, regular physical activity helps keep the body strong, the mind sharp, and the spirit lifted. Let's start with the physical benefits. Exercise helps maintain muscle strength and balance, which become especially important as we age. Strong muscles support our joints, reduce the risk of falls, and help us stay independent longer. Even light activities, like walking, stretching, or gentle strength training, can improve mobility and ease stiffness. Regular movement also boosts heart health, lowers blood pressure, and supports a healthier weight. But the benefits don't stop there. Working out has a major impact on brain health. Studies show that physical activity improves memory, focus, and overall cognitive function. It increases blood flow to the brain and even encourages the growth of new brain cells. That means exercise isn't just good for the body, it keeps the mind young too. And of course, we can't forget about mental well-being. Movement is a natural mood booster. It reduces symptoms of anxiety and depression, improves sleep, and releases endorphins, those feel-good hormones that help reduce stress. Many people find that being active gives them more energy throughout the day and a greater sense of confidence. The best part, it's never too late to start. Even a few minutes of movement each day can add up to real benefits. Gentle yoga, brisk walking, swimming, dancing, or resistant exercises with light weights are all excellent options. The key is to choose something you enjoy and start at a level that feels comfortable. So whether you're just beginning or continuing a lifelong habit, remember your body loves to move. And at any age, exercise is one of the most efficient tools we can have to stay healthy, active, and feeling our best. And that's our health news today here on the Townships at 12. I want to thank my guest today, Joseph Cianflone, leader of the Canadian Party of Quebec, for giving us much more insight into the party's platform. And if you have an event coming up, please send me an email at cjmqnews@gmail.com describing the event, and I will announce it on the show for free. Also, if you have an idea for an interview, please email me at cjmqnews@gmail.com. We will close today's show with a song called Coming Home, and it's by Canadian band City in Color. And remember that the Thursday show is repeated at noon on Friday, and the show will be up on our website later today under the Shows tab. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
I've seen the streets in the west. I've driven down the 90. Well, hell, I've seen America's best. I've been through the Rockies. Well, I've seen Saskatoon. I've driven down the Highway 1, just hoping that I'd see you soon. I'm coming home. 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 Coming home. Never been to Alaska, but I can tell you this. I've been to Lincoln, Nebraska, and hell, you know it ain't worth shit. I've been through Nova Scotia, Sydney to Halifax, but I'll never take any pictures, 'cause I know I'll just be right back. I'm coming home. 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 Coming home. I've seen a palace in London. I've seen a castle in Wales. But I'd rather wake up beside you and breathe that old familiar smell. But I never thought you could leave me. I figured I was the one. But I understand your sadness, so I guess I should just hold my tongue. But I'm coming home, I'm coming home, I'm coming home, I'm coming home, coming home. I know that we're taking chances. You told me life was a risk. I just have one last question. Oh, will it be my heart? Or will it be his? Coming home, I'm coming home, I'm coming home.